This is a download from the BBC. I'm Grant Stott, and this is my highlight from today's show. Now, the city of Edinburgh is world famous for the drama of its skyline and the intrigue of its hidden back streets. Both have inspired generations of writers to set stories here, and countless films and TV series have used the city as a backdrop. But poet Don Lettingham and photographer Gordon Hunter have explored the city in a different, more personal way. Their book and exhibition, Edinburgh Revisited, sees the pair turn the camera and pen on both the majestic and the minute across the city, putting Don's words and Gordon's images in conversation with each other. And they're here in the studio to tell us more about it. Welcome both gentlemen. Good to have you along.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Gordon, let's start with you. How would you describe this book? It's quite unique. It's not just, you know, there's so many wonderful books of Edinburgh which showcase her in all her glory, but the poetry in conversation with images, or the other way around. How would you describe this?
Yeah, it's come in two directions, basically. We did an exhibition about the borders in 2001, mm-hmm. Where Don was writing poetry. And writing some serious poetry that started winning prizes and things. And he had started giving talks and chatting through his poetry that he'd published. So I said, well, why don't I put some images up to go with it? So we created these picture poems, if you like. I would give Don photographs, he would give me poems, and together we'd work up some ideas. And people seemed to like it. Mm. So the Edinburgh thing came about more recently that was triggered. I mean, Don will explain why it was triggered.
So my son was getting married a couple of years ago in Sydney, and he said, could you write us a poem? And he used to walk from work from St Andrew's Square down to Dean Terrace. So I wrote this poem called Stockbridge Lovers, where it tracked the walk down from Queen Street all the way down to Stockbridge. And within that particular poem, he proposed to his wife in a cafe. I won't mention which cafe it was on the way.
Yeah.
And that seemed to go down really well, and Gordon matched it up with photographs, and that was the key. So now we've put 56 images together over the last couple of years, and it's just been it's such a joy to have done it. As Gordon says, there's a photograph and an image around every corner in Edinburgh.
Absolutely. And you two are old pals.
Very old. Yeah, we celebrated our golden anniversary just a few years ago. We did primary school and secondary school together. We knocked lumps out of each other. We both, and Gordon unfortunately has one handicap. He was born in Hoyk. I was born in Gala, and Gordon went on to play for Selkirk, and I played for Gala. So it's been quite a journey together.
The rugby rivalry shines through.
Indeed.
Yes.
In fact, I was a mixed marriage, and that my dad was from Hoyk and my mum was from Gala. So. I've had to bear that all my life.
Yeah. I know the borders rivalry only too well, yeah. Gentlemen, only too well. So this was what you mentioned, your earlier project, your first book, that was Borders Inheritance in 2000. Yeah. So what was it about Edinburgh? Why did you think, you know, let's do this again, but set it in Edinburgh?
Well, I think we've, one of the problems with sometimes work about Edinburgh, it's cliched.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things we wanted to do was to take a different slant on everything that we've done. And what's been fascinating with the exhibition and the book to date is every individual has associated with different images and different lines in the poems because they connect it to their own relationship with Edinburgh. So although people might know Edinburgh Castle or they might know the Scottish Parliament or Salisbury Crags, different things mean different things to different people. And I think that's been the joy for us to explore that just at a bit of an angle and to revisit it through our own eyes. But also, in the fact, there's a line from one of the poems in terms of seeing the city through your own reflection. And in a sense, that we've been trying to do is to connect people to just seeing the city in a slightly different way from what they just pass on a day-to-day basis. And that seems, in some way, to have made quite a deep connection with a number of people.
And that's got to be the challenge for you, Gordon, because, you know, as we say, so many photographs of these iconic images.
Yeah.
How do you, as a photographer, set about revisiting it? How do you start about it?
Well, I think it's triggered by a poem. So Don will give me a poem and we often sort of discuss some ideas around about it. And, you know, Don sits at his desk, writes a poem, and he gives me various challenges. A lot of them involve me getting up before sunrise and sunset to get decent light, because light is what I think creates great photography. He gives me impossible challenges sometimes. He says, I need a photograph of starlings, a murmuration of starlings above Edinburgh. Can you get that for me? And well, I could, you know, it's probably 3 or 4 weeks in Edinburgh, you know, every evening just waiting. So that was a challenge. And actually, my wife farms in the borders, and she came in one day and said, you should see the starlings outside. So I got this lovely shot of the translucent wings of the starlings. So that worked really well. And he had others. Can you get me the exact moment that the 1 o'clock gun fires? Well, yes, yes, yes. So I'm there with the shutter release cable waiting for that moment.
Synchronise your watches.
Synchronise your watches, yeah. And a tourist actually spoke to me. He might have said, but he didn't, you know, what time does the 1 o'clock gun go off? But so I turned and the gun went off, but still managed to press that shutter and get the smoke, if you like, coming out the gun. So each one, it was just a matter of looking at that specific subject, exploring round about it from far, from near, and then getting the right light. And going for it.
I think there's definitely a photograph to be had, not of the 1 o'clock gun, but of Princes Street when the 1 o'clock gun goes off and getting everybody just looking at their watch.
Now, I tell you, Dawn said, and I set my tripod up in Princes Street to do exactly that.
Oh, really?
I did exactly that, and I stood there and counted it down, shutter release cable ready. Nothing happened. One guy looked at his watch. It was really exciting, and I managed to capture it, but it just didn't make the book.
Yeah, the idea behind the poem was actually that it's a kind of war against time. Every year, every day, this gun is going off, and I had this image of bodies launching into the air and the gun going off, and Gordon went to find that image and couldn't get it. People just ignored it.
I let him down again.
Again.
Well, let's stay with Princes Street, because you also feature the Balmoral clock in the book, and you're going to give us a reading from this. So give us the backstory to this. What was the thought behind this poem?
The backstory is, again, you know, being brought up in Edinburgh and as children and teenagers, the Balmoral clock, the NB clock as it was, is an ever-present. It was always there. You're walking past it all the time. But the interesting thing, in 1902 it was built, and it's always run 3 minutes fast.
Yeah.
And that has saved me on so many times running for a train or whatever. And I like this idea of these 3 minutes. So this poem is about Balmoral clock, but it's actually about time, and it's about those 3 minutes. So if you will, I'll read you Balmoral clock.
In your own time.
Edinburgh's time machine runs 3 minutes fast, reaching forwards into unknown time and experiencing a future before we get there, saving us anxiety by building a buffer between the then and the now. I always used to wonder, if something happened in those 3 short minutes, could we get that time again, erasing our mistakes as if they hadn't really happened? Perhaps we should all wind our watches forward and live perpetually in 3 minutes of grace.
Wonderful stuff. That's Don Leddingham reading his poem Balmoral Clock from Edinburgh Revisited. And we have Gordon's photographs to accompany that as well. So tell us a story about that. Was the poem first, or were you set off to take the photograph of the Balmoral? How did that work?
I think you wrote the poem first.
So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. So again, the great view down Prince Street off Balmoral Clock. It's one of those iconic views. But invariably, I will give Dawn an image.
So that's how it works. Do you go and take the photograph? So can it work either way then?
Either way. So St Giles, for example, I said, look, we really must include the St Giles Cathedral. And Dawn was very specific. Well, I'll do something about the crown. So I went off to photograph that. And each time I give Dawn a photograph, invariably, he comes back with verses that surprise me. Mm-hmm. I was never greatly into poetry, but through what we've done over the years, I've learnt a lot. I get a wee surprise each time, just where he's gone off, where his brain's taken him. It's nobody really knows where his brain takes him sometimes.
And it just kind of works, doesn't it? It sort of works as a book format to have these words to go along beside each image. And each image, you've decided to go in black and white. And clearly Edinburgh is a beautiful, colourful city. So what was the decision, thought process behind that?
There are a lot of shots that just, everything was shot in colour and then converted to black and white. And there are a lot of shots in there that shout out to be in colour. But we found from that first exhibition that we did that colour and black and white, when you're putting the two together, they don't work as well. And I don't think they work as well in a book. And there's something timeless about black and white. And it sits with the words. Really well. It sits with the words.
And there are some beautiful pictures, great words in there as well. But you also have some contributions from some well-known individuals as well. Was this a case of using friends and contacts to get these people involved? Because we've got some cracking names in there. We've got Lord David Steele, you've got Jack Loudon, Gavin Hastings, Jason Connery, who was at the launch, the exhibition.
Yeah, people have been incredibly generous. So, yes, we've made the most of our connections and friends, but What has surprised us has been the generosity of people in terms of giving their time. Alexander McCall-Smith wrote a wonderful introduction, was very generous about the work, and I think that has helped us in terms of building that forward.
Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal, is this the rugby connections coming to the fore?
Not that one. Funnily enough, Ian Stark, the three-day horse eventer, lives next door to us in the Borders. And of course, he was five times at the Olympics, a couple of times with Princess Anne. So he made the introduction to our private secretary. She is also a patron of one of the charities that we're supporting. Don's wife and my wife sat in at a meeting when we talked about who we might get for the book, and they were going, "All right, guys, you guys are delusional, you know, there's no way you're getting them." And everybody, as Don says, has been fantastically supportive.
We're very lucky to have our wives who keep our feet in the ground quite firmly.
that's what they so often do. Well, it's wonderful stuff, and you are, as you mentioned, raising money for charity at the same time. Don Ledingham, Gordon Hunter, thanks very much indeed for coming in and talking about this wonderful book. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The book Edinburgh Revisited is out now, with all proceeds, as we mentioned, going to charity. And an exhibition of the work is at the Stills Gallery in Edinburgh until November the 3rd. All information in the usual places on our website. That was my highlight from today's show. I'm Grant Stott. Thanks for listening.